Hi to everyone. I think I've said hello to everyone, but if I haven't, hello. John and I usually, every day, just well, every day basically, we just read the word together, pray together, and talk a lot. But we recently read Hebrews once again, but we read it, and it was Hebrews chapter 3, and it really struck me. It was talking about, is it three or four? Talking about those that fell in the wilderness. They didn't see the promised land because of their hardness of hearts, because of their stiff necks. And it sort of got me there, and I was really thinking about it. And so I decided to say, Lord, show me more. Show me more. And so I have entitled today's talk, Hardness of Heart. It's not the easiest of subjects to talk about, actually, because it's, well, for me, it's been challenging. It's been a challenging thing to put together. So the thing is, what is the heart? Our heart is really, and I think we all know in a way, but our heart is where we have our intellect, where we have our reasoning, where we have our emotions, and it's from that place. I do believe God is more interested in our hearts than in any other area of our lives. Our hearts is where it happens, basically. And it's so easy just to shrug off or not hear. A heart is because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to, as the proverb says, guard our hearts with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of life. And in our hearts, we have all our motives, our emotions, faith and belief come from the heart. So who can get a hard heart? All of us. Every single one of us can get a hard heart. In fact, some of us live in a hard heart, and we do it without knowing. And I would say all of us here right now, in some areas of our heart, we are hard. And we have to ask God, I've been asking God, uncover the hardness of my heart so that I can see. So even faithful Christians can get a hard heart. And I would suggest to us, we all have a hard heart, actually. In some area or other, we have a hard heart. Jesus' own disciples suffered from a hard heart, and he questioned them about it. He exposed it to them. Because remember, Jesus had fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes, and they'd all got in the boat to go to the other side. And they were saying, we haven't got enough bread. What are we going to do? We haven't got enough bread. And you can just think, you know, palm to face. Jesus saying, don't you remember what has happened? Why are you asking me or asking each other, what are we going to do? We don't have enough bread. And he questioned them and he told them they had hard hearts. So he exposed certain conditions when he questioned them. He said, if you have a hard heart, you can't see and discern. You can't hear and understand. And you don't remember what has happened. And I think it's worth unpicking those things. So how do we get a hard heart? Well, of course, sin is a major area. If God keeps speaking to us about an area in our lives and we shrug it off or we consider it a light thing, we think, oh yeah, okay. But we don't actually imbibe it. We don't let it sink. We just let it drift away. God's spoken to us and we sort of agree, but it drifts away. And we don't actually consider the state of our own hearts. So that's one area. When God speaks to us, we have to really take it seriously and stop and consider and say, what is it, Lord, that has made my heart hard in this area? And let him speak to us. And let him take off the layers. I don't believe that we have one solid hard heart to begin with. It comes layer by layer by layer. And eventually, we don't see or perceive. We don't understand. We don't yield to God when he's speaking to us because we don't hear, actually. And it's a result of sin and not hearing when God is pointing a finger at something in our lives. We half-heartedly agree, but that's not good enough. You've probably heard of the whole concept of a frog in the pan of boiling water. If you put it in when it's boiling, it would immediately jump out. But of course, if it's in the pan and the heat is slowly increased, it doesn't realize the danger. And it stays there, presumably it's cooked, I presume. But that's us, isn't it? If things come upon us, and really if you think about it, most of it does come slowly. It's a little bit here, it's a little bit there, it's a little attitude here and a little attitude there, and this just becomes us. And we don't realize actually that this is we are fostering a hard heart. And what else causes a hard heart? And I believe ingratitude is another reason. When we don't really stop to say, Lord, what have you done for me? The greatness and the goodness of your love in my life, you have done so many great things. You have ministered to me when I was right down there. You have helped me. You have comforted me. You have encouraged me. You have provided for me. You have protected me, both spiritually and physically. You have protected me. You have shielded me. You have spoken words of encouragement and goodness and kindness to me. Your word has been my guidelines. Lord, you've done all this for me, not just for me, but for my family. Not just for my family, but for my brothers and sisters. You are an abundant God who never ceases ever to minister night and day. God ministers. And this is our inheritance as children, sons and daughters, or according to Graham, daughters-in-law, of the living God. We are those who are blessed. We are those who are blessed above everybody else, you will realize, above all the people, the millions, the billions on this earth. We and others who are called sons and daughters are the blessed of the Lord. We walk in the abundance of who he is. Thanksgiving, constant thanksgiving, is something that I believe has a part in softening our hearts if we're hard. We can also develop a hard heart, and I think this has happened to probably all of us, when we experience disappointment. It's very hard, isn't it? Disappointment is a real, like a dagger in a way, when it's a real big thing. When something major happens, we are disappointed because we pray, we expected God to answer in a certain way, and it didn't come that way. It didn't come in the way that we thought it should come. And so we experience a deep disappointment. And this can really, really put a hardness within our hearts because we fail to see the nature of God. We fail to see that he is a good God always. It doesn't matter whether at a particular moment I don't think I'm seeing his goodness. He is still good, and he is still good to me. And I just have to realize that, yes, my answer did not come in the shape, the way, or the time I thought it should come. But God is still good. He is full of grace and kindness. But this disappointment can put many layers, I believe, of hardness within our hearts. We don't then expect to see God answer. We can pray, but in fact, there's a reservation in our hearts as to the receiving of the answer of our prayer, because there is a hardness. A hardness has come into our hearts and into our lives. And sometimes we question if people have either disappointed us, or someone betrays us or hurts us. We begin to sort of question, in a way, the idea of being earnest in our faith. It's very easy to do that, isn't it? We forget how good God is because we live in the disappointment or the hurt or the pain of something that's happened to us. So developing grudges or resentment or bitterness always hurts us far more than it would hurt anyone else. In fact, our very physical health depends on us letting go of these things. The stress of holding on to an anger or a bitterness or an angst or a grudge or a disappointment means our physical bodies suffer as well as our spirits suffer because we're not walking in the light. We're not receiving as we could receive. God has everything to give each and every one of us. And we have to get into that position of expectation. I believe expectation is allied to a soft heart. Expectation that God is going to answer. And also the knowledge that He is good and His nature is good. And so while we may not see the answer in the way or in the time, we can maintain that soft heart by just constantly thanking God for who He is, as well as what He does for us. But who He is, His holiness, His righteousness, His joy, His peace, all these things are the nature of God, plus other things as well. So we need to maintain that connection with our God by thankfulness and yieldedness. I don't understand You, Lord, but I trust You. That's the hard bit, isn't it? I don't understand this, but I trust You. You are a gracious, good Father. You father us with a heart that is for us and not against us, a heart that is for our good and not for anything that would bring us down. You are a gracious, kind Father. I think it's quite a good idea to have a look at Pharaoh. The Pharaoh that had to do with Moses in Egypt, that very Pharaoh. And to see how he dug his heels in with a hardness of heart. The Bible says he had a hard heart. And the word describes his spiritual state, actually. I find him quite an interesting character. And he becomes a real example of spiritual blindness, even despite the painful circumstances that he lived through. He dug his heels in. He wasn't going to give in. So I'm not going to read the word because it's two or three chapters. So I think we know the story. Go home and read it. But so I'm talking about that. It's from Exodus 7 to about Exodus 10, somewhere around there. So first of all, a hardened heart does not obey God. Should I say that again? A hardened heart does not obey God. Just as Pharaoh did not obey in letting the people of God go from Egypt, a hardened heart refuses to obey God's word. You know, there'll be a day when Jesus, in His grace and His mercy, will say to us about His word, "I meant it, you know. I meant it. That was written, that bit in the word that convicted you, and I meant it. And we need to stop and say, God, what are you saying? In my circumstances, if they appear to be, you know, turmoil and upheaval, what are you saying to me? How are you trying to get through to me? So a hardened heart does not obey God. He refused, of course, Pharaoh refused to let the people go in the first. And then a hardened heart does not change after some relief in rough circumstances. They may come a little respite, but a hardened heart still digs its heels in. If you remember, immediately following the second plague, Pharaoh demonstrates the typical pattern of a hardened heart. After some sort of relief from difficult circumstances, a person with a hardened heart does not change and insists on continuing in the same way. So they're not looking for inner change, but just outward relief in their circumstances. Does any of this apply to us, to me? I've got to examine my heart. It's been a week of examination, and it continues for me. A hardened heart does not recognize the finger of God. Going back to the Exodus scriptures, the magicians around him, Pharaoh, said to him, "This is the finger of God." I mean, they were in the occult. They were steeped in darkness, but they recognized the finger of God. Pharaoh would have none of it. He just decided on a way of action, and he just continued. He refused to hear what God was doing within the circumstances. So I think a person with a hardened heart does not realize the spiritual realities that are around him or around us. Even if people would point it out to them, they refuse. It's not me. I'm right. A hardened heart might want something from God, but does not hear God. This is round about Exodus 8, 28. At the end of the fourth plague, you'd think that Pharaoh had had a change of heart. He said to Moses, "Plead for me." However, they were just words, because his actions showed that he did not actually mean to carry through with what he was asking from Moses. He might have wanted some relief, but he was not willing to hear and to change. Exodus chapter 9, verse 7. A hardened heart expects the word of God to fail and does not recognize God's faithfulness, because the cattle in the area of Goshen did not receive, were not, there was no destruction amongst the cattle of the Israelites in Goshen. But Pharaoh sent out people, go and check it out. Tell me what you find. Is this true that their cattle have not been affected, but everyone else's cattle in Egypt has? So he did not expect the word of God to actually come to pass. What about us? Do we expect the word of God to come to pass, even if it is delayed many years, many years? Do we still have that expectancy like Abraham did? I think he waited 25 years, didn't he, for the word of God to come to pass in his life concerning Isaac. 25 years, the Lord had spoken to him, and Abraham kept on believing. So if there is a delay, do we then say, well, God's not heard me, he's not answered my prayer? Or do we continue with a soft heart to press in to the Lord? And quite often there's an overemphasis on the mercy of God. If you're looking at the word of God and it's not coming to pass because your heart is hard, you're not receiving it. It disregards a hard heart, the warnings of scripture, as if the word of God is not actually true. It's very easy, I believe, to slip into unbelief and disregard the word of God when it comes with power. And we think, we may not say it and we don't say it, but I think the attitude of our hearts is that it's okay. God's full of grace. God's full of mercy. And of course he is, and he is. However, that does not take away from the fact that we are held accountable if God has spoken to us and we refuse to hear him. A hardened heart remains hardened even under severe pain. So halfway through the plagues, Pharaoh is miserable. I mean, wouldn't we all be, you know? But his heart is still hardened. The situation was so bad that the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils on their feet. They couldn't stand. And yet he still maintained this hardness of heart, even under all the severe plagues that they were experiencing. And a hardened heart might even say the right words, but really has no intention of changing. Really no intention. The depth in the heart, not going to change. You don't see the need. Don't see the plight, really, of where we are. So Pharaoh said the right words. He said, I have sinned. So, you know, this was a good beginning, if he really meant it. But you can have the right words, but have no intention of actually changing what God is pointing his finger at. A hardened heart does not recognize its chaos. I thought it was interesting that the Pharaoh's servants were ready to let the people of Israel go. They recognized that Israel was ruined, ruined, but Pharaoh didn't. I mean, he was looking at it, he was hearing it, but he was not taking it on board. Unfortunately, it reminds me a bit, and it's very sad, about the director of that submersible. According to the accounts that I've read, and I'm only going by newspaper accounts or online accounts, he was warned years beforehand that this craft that he had created, that he had made, manufactured, had not undergone all the safety checks that it should have undergone. And he shrugged it off. He shrugged it off. No, it's fine. It's fine. Because he wanted to make it out of a type of material that had great advantages, but also disadvantages. And he shrugged off the disadvantages. And consequently, not only him, but four other people paid the price of his pride and his arrogance. A hardened heart blames the messenger instead of recognizing its own condition. It's like Pharaoh gets very angry, if you remember the story. Not with sin, not with his own self, but with Moses. He got angry with God. But he didn't actually stop to say, what about me? So the long-term result of living with a hard heart, without repentance, of course, is judgment. You just get the consequences of your actions. You know, judgment is not an angry God, I don't believe, you know, pouring out wrath and anger. It's simply a decision rendered. Because he's just, isn't he? And so He's spoken, and it's, you know, it's the la 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 type of thing. And he keeps speaking, and we keep ignoring, or we half hear. If you remember Saul, King Saul, half did what he was told to do. But basically, half doing something is still disobedience. And he refused to really acknowledge that he was wrong and that he was, the problem was him. And so when someone blames the messenger and God, instead of recognizing his or her own condition, then we get further and further into the realm of a hardened heart. So any area of our lives where we are cold, insensitive, and unyielding is where we've got a hard heart. You know, we can be very soft in certain areas, but hardened in other areas. And I think this is for all of us. It's not, you know, each and every one of us can live with this condition. So when we have hardened hearts, there is a lack of ability to perceive, remember, or grasp events and ideas coming from God. We have an insensitivity to sin and sinfulness. It becomes like business as usual. In our attitudes, we just carry on. We fail to follow God's commands, the way of Jesus, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. We experience arrogance and pride, and we can be easily offended, resentful, and lack the ability to forgive. There is an indifference to the Word of God, and we have unbelief and a drawing away from God. Stiff necks, I think the Bible calls us, isn't it? When we like that, we have stiff necks and a proud heart. And it overcomes all of us, I believe. So what should we do to repair our stony hearts? God is constantly calling us away from hardness of heart. Psalm 95 is a call to worship. And he says, today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. And if you remember, Meribah mentioned is known as Massa as well. It was the place where the Israelites, after their exodus from Egypt, they rebelled against God. And because of their extreme thirst, they grumbled and complained to Moses. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? Why are we in this situation? And I think often we can say this to God, why am I in this situation? Why should I be here? Why can't I be in this other place? Without stopping to say, God, what are you saying to me? If I'm in this situation, you're speaking to me. God is always speaking to us. You have to have ears to hear. So if our situation is trying and difficult, what is God saying? Maybe he just wants us to persevere. Maybe he wants us to worship him and honor him. So the author of the Psalm 95 is saying, in essence, don't be like that. Don't live with a hard heart. He is speaking to you if you would only listen. He has done great things for you if you would only remember. So worship God. He is our God and we are the people of his pasture. So God is still speaking to us today, but we need to follow him and recognize his voice. The more we yield to God, the more we hear him, even if it's a painful experience, even if it, you know, it's difficult for us, but we yield to him, the softer our hearts become, the more we hear him in more and more things, in bigger things, I believe, in bigger things. So in order to cure the hardness of all of our hearts, we together, we need to humble ourselves and repent. And repentance, of course, doesn't mean that we just feel bad. It doesn't just mean that we regret it. But it means primarily that we take it on board and we turn away from that way. We humble ourselves before God. And we hear what he is saying to us. And as we dive deeply into God's word, It renews our minds and our thoughts so that we can come into conformity with God's will. When we hear that still small voice, let's listen to it really. I mean, really, stop. Stop and say, what are you saying, God? And seek his face. I don't believe that a heart that is hardened, that in two ticks it becomes soft. I think what happens is God, it's like peeling an onion, a layer by a layer. And we ask God to continually, let me see my heart, Lord, as you see it. And remove the layers of hardness. And when God reveals something to us, then we're obedient to that. We yield to that. We do that with God's help. It's not in our own effort. We all know that. It's by the power of God. And the amazing thing is that he comes with kindness, healing, aid, and he softens our hearts. Remember Peter, the Apostle Peter. He denied, as we know, he denied Jesus three times. And when he'd come to his senses afterwards, he was disappointed in himself. I guess he was angry with himself. He was ashamed of himself. And yet God, and he thought, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm just going to go back to what I've always done. But then God met him. And God really ministered into Peter's heart and life. And God always does this. He never leaves us in this place of disappointment or anger or frustration or resentment or whatever it may be. If we would yield, if we would come to him, if we would humble ourselves, God comes and meets us. And he enables us by his grace to let go of the stuff that grips us, whatever it may be. He helps us. And there's this psalm that we know very well, I believe, praying about a hard heart. Psalm 51, create in me, O God, a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Create in us all a newer, fresher, more tender, more true heart, O God. Amen.